Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic at 9:04. We're joined by Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good things coming up for you. In after a little bit after our entertainment news, we're going to get into our schedule here, talk about some fun things going on in our area, not only today, but throughout the week here. And we'll get into a little bit later, TV characters who would make the worst Thanksgiving guests. We have that coming up. We've got some other fun ones lined up for you as well. Want to get into the most popular Thanksgiving sides in all 50 states. All right. I got some other random stuff here and there. But let's go ahead and continue the turkey talk with our talk. Entertainment section.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg recently asked about his Thanksgiving this year, and he said that even though Martha Stewart sent him a ton of complicated recipes, he plans on keeping it real basic. It's a real basic Thanksgiving for the Snoop household. Just some turkey, ham, the stuffing, the dressing, all the regular
stuff. Okay.
He didn't say whether or not he'd be cooking, but he said he is pumped to be helping in the kitchen, and he's really, really excited to be hanging out with his grandchildren.
Aww.
He says he has 9 to 12 grandchildren.
Wow.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Wow, big family. Jeez.
Yeah. Snoop also said he'd be dressing up in costume for Thanksgiving for some reason. Quote, I get to be a character for that day. I may put on a costume and dress up and not even be Pawpaw. I might not even be Grandpa. I might not be. Now, this year, he's dressing up as Buzz Lightyear. And I don't think it's a really smart move on our part to put a lot of like thinking behind whatever Snoop's doing. Just go with it. Just roll with it. But I am a little huh.
Okay. Yeah. It's one of those. Yeah.
Huh.
All right.
I would have thought Woody. I
think he's doing it for his grandkids. It really sounds absolutely. Like that's why he's doing it.
100%. So. Yeah. 100%. And with the kids, while they know, this is Thanksgiving, this is Christmas or whatever. I mean, they're happy. They're excited. They're seeing family and stuff. And imagine, I loved and was very thankful to have the grandpas that I had. Mm-hmm. I had two great ones, both in their own rights and their own ways. I couldn't imagine having Snoop as your papa, as your grandpa. That's got to be fun,
man. It's one of those things where if you have a really famous person in your family, okay, especially when you're young and you don't know that they're famous. They're just, that's grandpa, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And then later on you find out, wow, my grandpa's super famous kind of thing. That's got I've always wondered about that. You know, having having a holiday with them and that sort of thing. And it's I know you look at them differently because you're related and you know them, who they really are, not what their persona is or anything like that. But that's I'm curious about what that's like, you know?
It's interesting to see the rebels get older. It's interesting to see, individuals who started out this way, and when we got to know them, they were this, mm-hmm. and now they are older and they are that. Ice Cube is another example of this.
Right.
But there's a lot of them like this. A lot of it, examples of and just what happens when you're the people that were rebellious get older and mm-hmm. have a chance to get older and everything. It's pretty cool to see.
I think it's fun.
I got some random stuff here about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
Which, really cool that it is still going.
I think that's great. It's a great tradition. It really is.
How many of you out there are going to be watching this tomorrow morning or have it on in the background at least?
That's
something
what I was
going to
say.
That.
At least have it on in the background, right?
I got to think 9 out of 10. 8 out of 10, something like that.
It seems that way, right?
It really does. It's this is another one of those things. I'm always going to look for these. Guess what, everybody? You out here in Wisconsin Rapids, you're doing the same thing that they're doing in South Chicago mm-hmm. or they're doing in upstate New York or anything else. We have these so many of these things in common. We have more in common than not with our fellow Americans and everything. I think that's something I'm thankful for, and I think it's pretty cool. And I think it's kind of cool that the Macy's Parade is still going. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Wow.
First one was in 1924. Yep. Happened when store employees marched to Macy's Herald Square dressed in vibrant costumes.
How about that? Very small, that first one. Not a big deal.
There were floats, professional bands, and live animals borrowed from the Central Park Zoo.
Oh, I remember hearing about that, yeah.
But it was originally Christmas-themed, actually.
Okay.
And it was meant to celebrate the expansion of Macy's flagship Manhattan store.
Oh, how about that?
So it was
that?
All a marketing thing, which is not surprising.
Not there, at all. But, not surprising at all.
And, I mean, to be fair, it is called the Macy's Thanksgiving.
So it's still marketing, yeah.
Yeah, they got to make a buck here. They got to do what they got to do. It became an annual tradition after the first one attracted a crowd of over 250,000 people.
The first one? That many people?
That many.
Wow.
Despite limited publicity leading up to it.
Why? Word of mouth. Spread like wildfire. Wow. Well,
and this is, it's impressive on two fronts. It's impressive because there wasn't a bunch of people texting, hey, did you see what Macy's is doing? No texting.
No.
It wasn't as if you went on and you had breaking news happening every 5 seconds.
Radio was in its infancy at the time. So newspapers was the main source of information at that time. So
for the word to spread like that.
Yeah.
But it also shows how we just didn't have much to do. Like, it feels like we kept busy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I mean, a parade. Shoot, let's do it. Get the
right.
kids.
I mean, parades.
Put on
back,
your jacket.
Think about how big parades were back then. You know, what did Lindbergh get when he came back from flying over the Atlantic Ocean? He got a huge parade, right? With, like, again, thousands of people there. And you're right. I think parades, I mean, we still do parades, but I think we do more out of a sense of history than the kind of the what they were back then. I mean, they were big events, so obviously, as we see here. So, yeah.
Before the Macy's Parade, there was an annual Thanksgiving Ragamuffin Parade. God, I love that.
Ragamuffin.
I love the word ragamuffin. I love the word ragamuffin. Where local children dressed up as beggars and asked adults on the street for pennies, candy, and apples. The Macy's Parade ended this tradition.
Yes, which is probably something they wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
You think about it.
The character balloons debuted 3 years later in 1927, and the first one was, anybody out there? Anybody?
Gosh, I think I've heard this before, but I don't remember.
I'm going to leave it there for a minute. I'll leave it there for a minute, let people call in. And in fact, you call in and you get this right, you win some River King tickets.
Hey,
just like that.
Tickets,
just like that.
How cool is that?
As a side note, we are going to be giving away River King tickets during Playmakers today, too, so be listening for that.
Lots of tickets to give away.
We'll give this to the end of the segment. We'll see.
All right.
The parade was broadcast on radio for the first time in 1932, then was first televised in 1946.
Wow. That was early television. Wow, yeah.
The Thanksgiving Day Parade floats were pulled by horses back in 1939.
Of course they were.
That's pretty cool.
Totally makes sense.
And Macy's canceled the parade during World War II from 1942 to 1944 because there were rubber and helium shortages.
Right. So, well, they could have just done it without the balloons.
Could have.
Anyway.
Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. What's your answer?
Mickey Mouse?
Ooh, good guess. Good guess.
That is a good guess.
It's a good guess. Good guess. Not correct, but it's a good guess. Thank you for calling and playing. Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, please do.
That was awesome. I didn't actually expect anybody to call.
Yeah, which is great.
Awesome. That was awesome. No, I'm kidding. You guys are the best. Thanks to the parade, Macy's is reportedly the second largest consumer of helium in the world. Only the U.S. government consumes more.
Makes sense.
I
didn't realize the U.S. government need to fill all these balloons. Like, what am I going to do? No, I'm just kidding.
Marching bands have to apply more than 1 year ahead of time to get into the parade.
It's a big deal, man.
That's it. Yeah,
it's a big deal.
And this year's parade is scheduled to begin at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow morning, so 7:30 our time, and will run for a full 3.5 hours until noon. It'll air on NBC as usual, along with these streams of Peacock and Fubo.
Okay.
You got Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb who are going to be.
Wow, okay.
Oh, and Al Roker are going to be down there.
Of course. Al's been doing it for, years now, man.
I'm an Al Roker guy.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
When he retires, that's going to be a sad day for the Macy's Parade, I'm telling you.
And this year's parade will feature 6 new character balloons, 4 new balloonicicles, and 7 new balloon floats. I don't know what a balloon
is. What is that?
I'm not sure. I want to know what that is.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
And a warning to all you New Yorkers out there, it's going to be a wet one tomorrow. The parade will happen, rain or shine, but there are some concerns as strong winds could keep the balloons grounded, like they were back in 1971. And if anybody else remembers back in 2019, that happened.
They had to keep down because of the long winds. I was at the parade in 2002. That was, oh my God, it was so cold.
Yeah.
It was one of the coldest things I've ever been to. It was great though. Because they had the balloons up, you know, at a decent height. I don't think they were as high as they usually are, but we were at like a little bend in the road. So every time, you know, the people carrying the balloons would go, they had to take a turn and then a turn. And then when they did the second turn, the balloons would start coming our way and they would, and you'd hear the crowd. It was actually kind of cool.
I don't know if I might be the only one, but I think it's actually really cool to say that you've seen that parade in person.
Yeah, it was like, cool. It was a great experience. Yeah.
Is it? There's the Tournament of Roses, certainly, right, with the Rose Bowl and everything, but is it the most famous and most popular parade, Macy's Parade?
It's between those two. I think the Tournament of Roses Parade, I think, is older because I think they've been doing it longer, but Macy's has got to be one of the most, the most famous just because of the longevity and how big it is. Just all, and of course, you know, then you got, you know, at the end, you got Santa and all the stuff to start, you know, the holiday season, that sort of thing. So,
yeah. We look at what's new on your small screen and big screen for this holiday extended weekend. Wednesday, today, Our Little Secret on Netflix, a romantic comedy starring Lindsay Lohan and Ian Harding as resentful exes who are forced to spend Christmas together, blah, blah, blah.
Typical rom-com, put them in a blender and hit to blend.
Not my thing, not my speed. I won't see it, but I am very happy for Lindsay Lohan.
Looks like it's good that she's getting some work, yeah.
Any comeback story, I'm a fan of.
Me too.
I think she's a good actress. I think she's a very, she's like a lot of child actors. She's good. She's way better than average actress. But like a lot of child actors, just had some real bumps in the road.
She did.
To see somebody come back, whatever she does with her career, if she just does Hallmark movies the rest of her career, power to her. Yeah. That's cool to
see.
It's
a career.
Wednesday, or also today on NBC, you'll have the 1 hour special Countdown to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Wendy McLovin Covey is going to goes live from the parade, starting line to preview the preview the stories behind this year's floats.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
I really like her. She, of course, got famous on Reno 911 and the Goldbergs. She's got a new show on NBC with David Alan Greer and stuff. And I find myself wanting to watch things just because she's in them. I really do like
that's
her.
That's a good sign.
And tonight on ABC, the 2 hour 2020 special, The Untold Story of Mary Poppins. What is that?
What?
I don't know.
The Untold Story. Yeah, they made a movie. It's called Saving Mr. Banks. I've seen that already. I don't know why I need to see it again.
For a long time, 2020 has done some excellent reporting. Have they run out of stories?
They're all ideas. Hey, maybe we could do one about the untold story of Mary Poppins.
Okay. The true story.
It's ABC, you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know why they did it. It's Disney. They got to... Yeah. And then people are going to say, hey, we should watch, go to Disney Plus and watch Mary Poppins, right? Yeah.
Yeah. On Thursday, 7:30, as I mentioned, the 98th Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will be taking place. Also on Thursday at noon on NBC, the National Dog Show.
Oh, that's dog show. Right. I forgot that happens on Thanksgiving, yeah.
And, of course, football.
What?
Yeah.
There's football on Thanksgiving? All right. I guess I'll watch some.
At 12:30, we've got the Detroit Lions hosting the Chicago Bears. That'll be on CBS. Our afternoon game will be the Dallas Cowboys hosting the New York Giants. Dear God, that sounds horrible. That's a perfect time for that game. The tryptophan will be kicking in.
And it will put you to sleep, ladies and gentlemen. That game will put you to sleep.
If the Cowboys and Giants don't do it, the tryptophan will, And you'll be well-rested to watch your Green Bay Packers host the Miami Dolphins. That is obviously the best game of the slate.
Right.
That's the Detroit Chicago game will probably not be competitive. It might be, but Detroit's going to win.
I don't know. Detroit, they still struggle on Thanksgiving. Even in recent years when they've been better. I don't know what's going on with that, but anyway.
I feel like both teams have something to prove with Green Bay and Miami. Miami is
very much so.
Miami's going to, they're playing Green Bay, but they're seeing Buffalo. That's their boogeyman.
Yeah.
And they got to prove that they can win in cold weather.
Oh,
if you're Miami, you got to prove
Tua needs to
Yeah.
He needs to prove it.
And with Green Bay, they are just in they came into this season with so much hype and so much hope that now they're in a position of you got to keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you got to win. It's not a mandatory thing, but in order to keep that energy going, you really do need to keep winning and really see something from some of these young guys and stuff. So there's plenty of storylines for that game. The Masked Singer will also be on Fox tomorrow as well. So you have that to look forward to also. Looking at what's new on your big screen, of course, Thanksgiving weekend tends to be actually a big one for movie releases. At least it used to be. It's not anymore. And it's gotten to the point where if studios hear, oh, they're releasing Moana 2 on Thanksgiving weekend, we'll go back a week.
Yeah, we're not going to try to compete with that, right?
Nobody wants to compete with each other anymore. It's really weird and awfully like difficult to like good luck like finding a weekend where there's no new movie released or something like that. So Moana 2 is the big one being released this week. They're bringing back the same cast. Now the first movie leaned into the songwriting of Lin-Manuel Miranda, but they got a new team together for the sequel. Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear, who won a Grammy for the unofficial Bridgerton musical album, have been brought on to do this. They're the youngest duo to composed music for Disney and the first female songwriting team to write a full Disney soundtrack. Abigail is 26, Emily is 23.
Wow.
Both
I'm impressed.
Very impressive.
That's very cool.
Both the movie and the soundtrack are getting some decent reviews, but it's really when it comes to kids' movies, I don't want to hear what adults think. I don't care if you're the greatest movie critic of all time. I don't care if you're Ebert and Siskel and Ebert, who I really did enjoy.
Right.
What do the kids think?
Like, that's the important thing.
Yeah. Like I almost feel like it's one of the more ridiculous things to see adults reviewing kids' movies.
You know, and I think part of it is the problem with success that they've gotten with, you know, where they've now added stuff for adults. You know, so that they are more interested in the movie. So it's not just the kids. But now I think you're right. I think it's kind of swung the other way. Now all the adults are like, you know, no, this is my, what are you talking about? Kids movie. This is my movie. You know, that kind of thing. I'm going to judge it this way. No. Let the kids do it.
Yeah. And we take a look at Rekindle the Spirit. I wanted to wrap up there, Seth, because this is a big one. This is one of our signature events here in Wisconsin Rapids, and we get to be a part of it today.
We do. We are going to be we have a float. We're getting ready today, and I got some music to put together. It's going to be a lot of fun, everyone. So you will see us there. And here is the schedule for tonight at about 5:25. The Grand Avenue Bridge lighting ceremony and ribbon cutting for the new light effects on the bridges, on not only Grand Avenue, but also the Jackson Street Bridge as well. And immediately following that will be the annual holiday lighting ceremony at Veterans Park right after they're done with that. Then at about 5:45, the parade will begin. And as the parade wraps up at about 6:45 or so, Santa and Mrs. Claus will be at the Hotel Mead, and you can go get your picture taken there provided by Titanium Photography. I also want to let you know that Chatterbox Catering will be at Veterans Park from 3:30 to 6:30 to get your hot drinks and great food. So we got you covered for just about everything tonight at the Rekindle the Spirit, and couldn't be more excited to be part of it.
Yeah, we are humbled and thankful to be a part of this. Extremely thankful to the amazing team we have around here. Have so many things, so many plates to spin, and we're still able to pull this off. Shout out to Pam, Melissa, Ashley, everybody working hard on our float to make that happen. Wave hi to our team out there today, everybody. Thank them. Get some candy.
We got candy for you.
Got candy for you and everything. That's fun. And we're, just not just us, but the whole community and all these businesses and nonprofits that come together to put this on. Have a great time tonight. Dress warm.
So you can enjoy yourself.
Dress warm out there and have fun. And shout out to the community on this one, because this is a community event and everybody comes together to make this happen. Nice work,
everybody. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I hear you. And of course, who was the first character that debuted at the Macy's Parade? What was the first float? We got some,
did we get some answers?
We got some. Beth wrote in Snoopy. That's a great one.
That's
great
a good
choice.
One, yeah.
That's a really good choice. Actually, Beth, the one character that has appeared in the parade the most is Snoopy.
Oh, really?
He appeared 43 times, most recently as Beagle Scout Snoopy. He appeared. So that was a good one.
Nice.
But not the first one.
Okay.
Not the first one. The first one was actually Kevin got this one right. He had to look it up, but he said it was Felix the Cat, and you are correct, sir.
Oh, really?
You are correct. Yes. Get the winning bell. Felix the Cat was the first balloon.
That's a great piece of trivia right there. Mm-hmm. Keep that in your back pocket, everybody. You may need it someday.
I was a big Felix the Cat guy. I always thought Felix was cool.
Not bad.
It's a cool character. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was so. And that was fun.
Yep.
We're going to take a time out. We'll come back. We're talking about the TV character you would least like at your Thanksgiving dinner. But I want to flip this too. Oh. Who's the one you'd want there the most?
Let's do both. Yeah, I like that idea.
And we want audience participation. 715-424-2600. Call up and let us know who would be your worst guest, your favorite guest, all the above.
All of it.
Well, I'll be back with more show on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got to move out of the way for that bass line. Really do.
Yep.
Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. We want audience participation for this next one. Call up 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away if you're using the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. We thank you for downloading the app and keep that thing handy because you've got some stuff coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
We may have a contest coming up that you need that for. Yeah.
Go ahead and download the app, everybody.
Get ready
for it. Yeah. So Collider.com has a list of the 10 TV characters you'd never want to see coming through your front door for Thanksgiving dinner. Guess who's coming to dinner? That kind of thing. But there's a couple of ones that stand out here that I think are pretty interesting. We'll go through some of these and have some fun with it. But yep. I do want who you would like to show up.
Mm-hmm.
What character would you like Snoop to show up for?
Hey.
Would you like Snoop dressed up as a minion? I'd like to see Snoop as a minion.
That would be funny.
I think that one would be good. Hannibal Lecter shows up on the list here.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus,
he wouldn't like anything you're serving.
He's not going to like anything you serve. He's not going to like anything. I don't even know why he came. Why did you?
Yeah.
Even
why
come,
did you even come here?
I brought a dessert. No, you didn't.
No. Thank you. No thanks.
You get out of here. Leave. Who invited him?
Yeah.
How did he even know where we live?
Yeah. Exactly.
The site says Hannibal is a clear number one.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. Yeah. Right.
Homelander from The Boys. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. There's you know. Most Thanksgivings, you have like a 97% chance of surviving.
Yeah.
If you brought him, I think your chance is like 50-50.
They mentioned a couple of the characters from The Sopranos.
You know, when you first mentioned it, Tony Soprano popped into my head. It's like, you know, well, maybe Tony would be a little bit better than some of the other characters on The Sopranos.
That's all well and good. Some of us don't have a choice. Some of us, the Sopranos are showing up for your Thanksgiving. That's just family. That's just for some of us. This is an interesting one. Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He can be charming, but with his self-centered attitude, obnoxiousness, and condescending sense of humor, that would not be, you know, the majority, I guess, wouldn't like him.
No, it would not be fun at all.
Interesting.
Now, Jim Parsons
would
be a good person to invite. He would be really good.
Beth Dutton from Yellowstone. They say she is cunning and abrasive. And if there is anything that Beth is well known for, it's ruining family dinners.
I've never watched Yellowstone, so I wouldn't know. But that would make sense.
But to Yellowstone fans out there. I bet that was a good one for you guys. Let's see. Angela Martin from The Office. Yeah.
How many people from The Office?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Like, that you would not want at your Thanksgiving dinner. No.
I love that show. I think like Pam from The Office, maybe. I'm not even sure if I want Jim to show up, just because I don't know if Jim would like me. I don't know. And if he doesn't like me, he's probably going to just pull pranks on me.
Yeah.
Dwight would not like me. No way. And I love Michael Scott. I like the character, but I could never work for that guy. I have worked for that guy in my life, and it didn't go well.
A lot of people. That's probably why he's so popular. A lot of people work for guys like that.
Definitely. Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty. No, I'd want Rick to show.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
Survival rate again.
Not great. Little low. But be interesting.
It would be interesting.
Thanksgiving. And wrapping up the list, Cousin It from the 60s version of the Addams Family.
Very specific.
What's wrong with the Christopher Lloyd Cousin It?
That's Uncle Fester. Cousin It is the hairball. So that would be a little off-putting, I think, for your dinner.
I mean, waiter, there's hair in all of my food. All of it.
There's hair under this chair next to me. What's going on?
No one would be able to understand him either.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go around the room now and everybody say thanks. I think I heard a brush in there. I think Cousin It is thankful for brushes.
Although a Addams Family Thanksgiving would be fun to watch. Yeah. That would be cool to see what they come up with their meal.
I'm all in on that.
That would be fun, yeah.
I think there's some honorable mentions, like Fraser Crane gets mentioned on this list. I can see that. Just because nothing you serve is going to be good enough.
Yeah, right. It's going to have something to say about
it. It's
got to
be the upper echelon of the most finest of wines and things. And they say Dawson from Dawson's Creek. I never saw that.
Never saw that, so I wouldn't know.
About that one. No. Scrappy-Doo from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that's just...
Now, that's a whole other category.
Yeah, we're talking like, I don't buy that. Sorry. I don't buy it.
In animated history, he may be the worst character. He may be. Like, he's right up there. Yes. I don't know. Please call in 715-424-2600. Do you like Scrappy-Doo? Because I've never met somebody like...
I've never met anyone.
My sister is part cartoon character.
Right.
And I've never actually heard my sister say she didn't like a cartoon or didn't like a character except for Scrappy-Doo. That was it. Even my sister couldn't get in the
one.
Some of the characters from Stranger Things. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
And then Ned Flanders shows up on this list.
You know, that's interesting because one of the people I thought would be Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd want Homer at your things. No, he would be, you know, rude and crude and all these kinds of things. Why? And I suppose Ned, too, because he's like the opposite end of the spectrum, right?
My family, like many families out there, so, you know, we go around the table, say thanks, and you say a prayer before you eat and stuff, like a lot of families. Mm-hmm. You would never get to the food. Ned would be up there, and if he didn't take forever giving thanks, the prayer would be the longest prayer you've ever heard, with a lot of diddlies in there and stuff. I agree. I see where they're going with that one.
You could invite, in fact, Reverend Lovejoy would be better, because like his prayer would be like 2 seconds long.
He's out. In and out. He's got this all. He's done. It's the same
he's
one.
Done.
He's done forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Maria from Everybody Loves Raymond. I believe the mom from Everybody Loves
Raymond. That's correct. Yes.
Again, she's already there. I already have her at my family. She's already going to be there. I basically have her at my wedding.
Oh my gosh.
That's a fun list, though. And when we come back after our news break, feel free to call in. Let us know who you'd like. Who would you if you could invite anybody to Thanksgiving dinner? Certainly. I'm talking about celebrities. And
yeah. Sure.
People.
Yeah.
I think all of us can think of some people that are not going to be there that we wish would be at Thanksgiving.
And yeah, that'd be a good thing. I have a real quick honorable mention here for Friends fans out there. Chandler Bing.
Oh, yeah.
Who hates Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And he would make it miserable for everybody else.
Okay.
So he would be a bad
that
one,
would
too.
Be a bad
so,
one.
Yeah.
That's a great reference. Yeah, that would be a bad one. I'm thinking there's a lot of these characters that have already been mentioned and everything. But Bart, for Simpsons fans, Bart ruined Thanksgiving one year.
He did.
Horribly ruined it.
He ruined actually several celebrations, now that I think about it. Yeah,
it's kind of his thing. Kind of his thing. I relate
to
it.
His lucky red hat.
Yes. My boy! You turned him into a box! We'll be back for more show on The Morning Show on WFHO. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you all. Got some fun stuff lined up for you to take you to the top of the hour. Got a couple of just random facts. Want to get out there with Thanksgiving and get these out. And
cool.
I think they're kind of fun. Like this poll that found the top things we are thankful for this year.
Okay.
This year, the top things we are thankful for are family, health, life in general, our job or finances, our faith or religion, our basic needs being met.
That's good.
And our friends.
Aw, that makes sense, right?
It's a good one. And it's a great list.
Good things, yeah.
Great list. Again, honorable mentions or any other things you want to bring up, please let us know what you're thankful for. Call up and let us know. There's some interesting, like, if you're looking for disaster stories or things, there's a lot of those on BuzzFeed that they're promoting and talking about. And sometimes it could just give you a little perspective on yours.
True.
Oh, I forgot this. And then you read one of these stories, and you're like, okay, it could be a lot worse.
It's all right.
That could be entertaining, too, to be honest. And what about this? What about the when is the peak stress time being out on the road or just being in through the holiday? Knowing this could help you prevent it from happening or you know, maybe just at least counter it.
Gird your loins for it,
A poll of parents with kids under 12 found peak stress hits 3.5 hours into traveling. I could see that.
That makes sense.
1 in 8 said within the first hour, though. So that could happen, too.
Depends on your kids. Yeah, it really does.
And I think all you do is you just make sure you're not on the road that long. That's all you got to do.
That's right. Take breaks. Breaks are good.
60% said traveling with their kids is the most stressful part of the holidays. The most stressful aspects are keeping them entertained, dealing with tantrums, finding bathrooms, and, you know, of course, are we there yet?
First of all, what you do is make sure they don't say, are we there yet? Or any of its many, many variations.
Yes.
Find a way to keep them from doing it. Because, and you can, and don't use the old, I'll turn this car around. You're not going to do that.
No.
Don't lie. And I just don't, find some other way.
I don't know if there's a kid in human history that's ever believed really that you're actually going to turn the car around.
Maybe the first time you did it.
Yeah.
But after that, they're like, they're not going to turn it around.
28% of parents would rather listen to Baby Shark for the whole trip than travel with a screaming child.
Oh, my gosh.
13% would rather have a root canal.
I don't know.
That seems a bit extreme to me. That's way extreme. The top strategies for dealing with a fussy kid are to give them unlimited screen time and bribe them with junk food.
Oh,
those are horrible strategies. Those are horrible strategies. I am not at all trying to tell people how to parent by any means.
Well,
but there are better options.
I can tell you what Beth and I did when we said we are very adamant about no screen time when you're traveling in a car, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But there's books you can read. Look outside, see what's going on. You know, for me, that was one of the bigger things growing up. And did I complain when I was a kid? Yes, I did. I totally admit that. But in the end, I'm so glad I did it, that I was able to see the countryside and all the trips I took with my parents. It's one of some very good memories of that. And that's what I want my kids to say, even though they might right now. I'm telling you, when you're older.
I love traveling, and I've done it so much in my life. And there's no trip that I've made more in my life than the four-hour drive between here and Chicago. I've done it literally uncountable amount of times in my life. But I'm a very fidgety person, and I don't like to be still for too long. And I was a ton worse when I was a kid. But my Nana and Papa knew this, and I don't ever remember complaining about drives or them complaining about me because they always kept us busy. They knew it was a four-hour ride, so things would start out. I'm in the front seat with Papa, and my sister and my Nana are in the back, and my Nana's going through her rosary, and my sister is barely awake. And I'm up front, and what does Papa do? Give me the map. So I'm the map guy. I'm in charge of the
responsibility.
Map. We're not getting to our destination unless I'm good at my job. And, you know, I had something to do, and I had an activity. I had something keeping me busy. When it wasn't that, it was games. They had a joke book that they'd give us, and me and my sister could go through. I don't remember. And then, you know, we'd stop for dinner, or we'd stop to get a bathroom break. Having breaks, having intended breaks
are good. Yeah.
Are a good one. Not just for you, but certainly the
for
kids.
Everybody. Yeah,
there's other options. I'm just off the top of my head throwing stuff out there.
There's lots of stuff you can do. Yeah.
I think that the whole bribing them with junk food thing is you know, just counterintuitive. You're just giving them sugar.
Now, I will say that it's good to keep food in the car for the trip. Yeah. Especially if you have someone, you know, who might get a little motion sick or something like that. It really helps if they have food in their stomach, that kind of thing. And it also gives them something else to do. Now, I would say be healthy about it. Make sure the food is good food, not just junk food. A little treat here and there, not bad. But you should have some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Someone polled 2,500 Americans who celebrate Thanksgiving to find the most popular side dishes in all 50 states. And so what are we eating around the country here? Mashed potatoes, they're number one in 14 states, almost all of Mississippi, and almost all west of the Mississippi.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not too surprising.
No, it's not, but that's really interesting.
That many, I found.
Yeah, 14 is a lot.
That's a lot of them here.
People likes their mashed potatoes.
That certainly includes Wisconsin. Yep, Wisconsin. No. That is number one for Wisconsin.
Again, no surprise. Yeah, not surprised at all.
Let's see here. And continuing with the list, stuffing or dressing, 12 states. All scattered across the country, but I chose that one.
That's not a surprise, too.
Mac and cheese was with eight. It's especially popular in the South,
of course. I was going to say in the Southeast, yeah, probably.
But that's also really a heavy debate in the South, from what I've heard, because there's some people that believe that that is a side, and some people that believe that is a meal. And some people that make it and like they it's still, a meal.
Some call it a vegetable.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding when I say that. They call it a vegetable.
You're right. I've heard it. green bean casserole, six states, mostly in the Midwest. Chose that
again,
one.
That's the whole cream mushroom soup thing. If it's a hot dish or a casserole, need cream mushroom soup.
Sweet potato casserole showed up in three states, Kansas, Mississippi, and Georgia.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Corn casserole.
I do know what that is.
Oh, okay.
I have seen it before. I'm not a fan, really, but I know it's for some people it's big. James just saw looked at it.
I don't understand cream corn. It's not that I don't. Oof. It's not even that I don't like it. I don't like it, but it's more than that. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm not a big fan of cream corn. I like corn, but not cream corn.
Who saw corn and said, you know what this needs? Slime. We got it. Water.
We need some moisture with this corn.
It's wrong.
And it's not water.
Corn is awesome. Corn is great on its own. It's good on the cob. It's good just solo. You don't
need
it.
Doritos. I mean, come on. Corn is great.
Who out there loves cream corn? Like, I'm not trying to make fun of anything like that. Like, now I'm genuinely asking.
There's got
to
be someone out there.
There has to be, right? We're still making it for a reason.
Right.
Somebody's got to still be buying that. But I've never understood. The first time I saw cream corn, it's just the same look that Seth just saw me look at that thing.
It's that sound you make. Yeah.
Like, I was so excited. I remember, corn, great. And I think it was probably Thanksgiving or something like that.
But it was creamed corn.
Like, that ain't right. Corn didn't deserve that. Creamed spinach shows up in two states, Massachusetts and Connecticut.
Take cream corn and make it even worse.
Right. I'm sorry. Corn casserole was big in Kentucky and West Virginia.
All right.
Deviled eggs showed up in Indiana and Alabama.
Really? Ooh. I always associate deviled eggs with Easter, maybe ironically, but that's because that's when we always had them.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too, and I never even thought of that.
Yeah,
I do too, though. And same thing in our family.
Yeah. Yep.
And cranberry sauce was number one in Wyoming and in many of the hearts of us here in Wood County.
You know, I got to say, I remember hearing that. I think you mentioned on the show that Wyoming cranberries is the biggest one. But man, it's got to be like number two.
Yeah.
On a lot of lists. It's one of those things.
To be.
If they did ranked choice voting, maybe it would have gotten a little higher. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe that's how we get ranked choice voting. We just slide in with these kind of things.
Yeah, with these surveys, right?
Maybe, in all truth, maybe that's part of how you get people more comfortable with ranked choice voting, having it with random things like this.
Hey.
They also looked at each state's favorite pie, Seth.
Okay. All right. Now we're getting into the good stuff here.
Of course, pumpkin dominated in 38 states.
Not a surprise.
Apple was next with 7 and a pecan with 5.
Okay. There you go.
Now those are
very limited. We need to start mixing it up here. Okay.
Yeah.
They have, there was a restaurant, let's see, I think it was in Fargo, who had made some excellent pies. They had a chocolate pecan pie.
Ooh.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever had in my life. Yeah. Man, I know Brian of now of El Cafe, making pies over there. He has some really great combos as well. So those are the ones I like. I like mixing it up a little bit.
What about a cinnamon roll apple pie?
That looks really good.
That
looks delicious.
It's got layers too. I like pie with layers. I like that. The shoe fly pie, of course.
Shoe fly pie is really big in the East and the South. That's really good too. It's made from molasses, so it's really sweet, but it's also very good.
I've never had it, but I've always wanted to try it. This is one of those ones that looks really good.
It is good.
And anything with crumble on top, like, I'm a fan. I'm big on
He's
that.
There.
I'm for the crumble. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show for the week, a morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here, wrapping up the show for the week. I'm going to get you right to the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us, everyone. got some good stories of the day we're going to get to, but I want to kick things off first with the in the segment, Seth, talking a little bit about what are Americans going to be eating? What are we eating for Thanksgiving?
All right, let's do it.
A new poll asked people what they're planning for their Thanksgiving table, and for starters, 19% of people claim that they aren't celebrating this year.
Wow, that's 19%, pretty high number. That's a high number, yeah.
Of the 81% who are celebrating, the most popular food is, of course, turkey, mm-hmm. followed by mashed potatoes. Bread and rolls came in next.
Oh, really? High on the list. I like that.
I like that.
That's good.
Pie at number four.
It was technically after the meal.
Yeah, yeah. Stuffing, gravy, and green beans all came at number five, six, and seven.
The healthiest thing is on the bottom.
Yeah. Sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, and corn. Just corn, not just cream corn. Showing up.
Cranberries is so low. When else do we eat cranberries, people?
Yeah.
We gotta savor it. It's gotta be higher on the list. I'm telling you.
We're not appreciating and respecting the cranberry.
We're not.
Mac and cheese, ham, both show up as well.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people with both, you know, the turkey
ham
and the ham.
Turkey. Wow.
Which
wow.
seems like an awful lot of food to me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And asking a lot of the cook. Like, yeah. that's
two big pieces of meat there. Yeah.
And wrapping up the list, Brussels sprouts.
I've heard that, of course. You can't just eat Brussels sprouts. You got to add bacon, you know,
yeah,
and maybe some sweet maple on there.
Ooh, like, there you go.
Nothing is good on Thanksgiving for you. This is the day. Yeah. You don't have to eat anything good, people. Yes. Just go ahead and go crazy, you know.
And especially because we've got other good things for you that are good for you going
good
on.
For you,
got a lot of great things going on programming wise. Of course, we've got good things lined up this afternoon. Be sure to join us for our not our final midday for the week, but just for today.
Yeah, for today.
Join us at 4 o'clock today. Our friend Lance Pummel, Wood County Board Supervisor, will be in with us. Lance is bringing in Mike Weiberg from the Wood County Rescue Squad.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
Going to get to talk to Mike a little bit mm-hmm. about what the Wood County Rescue Squad is, how you can know more about it, and maybe even be a part of it.
That's cool.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be a really good interview.
It will be.
And in part two, we wrap up things with our friends at the ODC. We've got Lisa, Maddie coming in. David might be with us as well.
We'll see.
I hope David's with them. But we'll be talking about Milkweed Market and some of the cool things they have going on.
Yes.
Seth, again, a reminder to everybody out there, we will be at Rekindle the Spirit tonight.
We will be.
Be sure to join us. Look for our parade, our float down there at the parade.
Yep.
And we've got these cool candy canes we're going to be handing out.
Yeah.
They got a cool note on them. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter. Mm-hmm. Our newsletter is premiering today at noon, a day early.
Yes. Melissa's working hard to get that out one day early, so she doesn't have to worry about it tomorrow. So look for that in your inbox, everybody.
Sign up for the newsletter at WFHR.com. Mm-hmm. Everyone, appreciate that. And be looking for our float during the parade today.
Yep.
Rekindle the Spirit, going to be a lot of fun, Seth.
It will be. The parade is going to set to begin at 5:45 and go until about 6:45. Mr. and Mrs. Claus will be visiting Hotel Mead. You can get your picture taken there. And don't forget, before that, we've got not only the regular lighting ceremony at Veterans Park, but the Grand Avenue Bridge lighting ceremony and ribbon cutting for the new lights on the bridges, which is going to be really cool. So.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Enjoy Rekindle the Spirit. Shout out to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. All these businesses, nonprofits, and volunteers making that happen. We'll see you down there, everybody. I want to get into our programming for the week here. Of course, we will not be with you Thursday and Friday live, but we will be here with you.
We will be.
And we are bringing you some amazing programming. We've got some special stuff lined up for you. On Thursday at 8 a.m., the Polka Show.
That's right. Tim's Polka Show. He made a special Thanksgiving edition for last week. And we're like, how perfect. How perfect. Let's play it again for everybody.
It's going to be a great one. That'll kick things off tomorrow at 8. At 9 o'clock, a special director's cut.
Yes, we were preempted on Sunday because of the Badger basketball game, of course. But it was so perfect for Thanksgiving. We talk about possible Thanksgiving movies. So we're like, we're gonna do it. And we had our one of our recurring guests on the show.
Yes.
Our fifth Beatle, as James likes to call her.
Yes. Bria Hoyt joined us for this mm-hmm. one. We talked a little bit about what the Muppet, but spent a good amount of time on Thanksgiving movies and stuff. We had some fun with that one.
It's good. So that'll be 9 o'clock tomorrow.
And then Thursday, tomorrow night, from 4 to 6, you've got Community Stories, the debut episode in part 1 from 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6, Community Stories Junior, both the pilot episodes of both of those.
In case you missed them, Melissa's done such a great job with those. We wanted to make sure you caught that again. So we're playing both of those on Thursday evening.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, join us right here from 4 to 5, or 5 to 4, for, mm-hmm. 5 to 6 for a Midday Magazine.
Yes, that's right.
And on Friday at 8 a.m., the Best of the Kitchen's open.
Yep, got some great ones there, of course.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at 9 a.m., our pregame kicks off Wisconsin hosting Minnesota, the Battle of Paul Bunyan's Axe.
Yeah, so that's such a fun game.
It's such an awesome one. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Let's see how that one goes. Friday afternoon, we'll have a midday magazine lined up for you, ODC. Casey's going to be in with us from there. And our good friend Ron Rasmussen brought in Tracy and some kids from the Teen Truth at Rams.
That's very cool, yeah.
Really enjoyed talking with them. Mm-hmm. Great, great kids. That interview will be for you on Friday.
Yep.
Also, Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, Unlabeled. Got a special one lined up for you there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good week of programming for you, everybody.
Yes.
And, of course, it doesn't stop there. On WIRI, you've got the Cranberry Classic going on.
We've got back-to-back games, everybody, on Friday night.
5:50, our pregame kicks off for Nakusa at versus Port Edwards as the beginning mm-hmm. of the Cranberry Classic. And then at 7:50 Friday night, Assumption Boys hosting Columbus Catholic at the Cranberry Classic. A shout-out to Mike and Seth for covering those games. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you guys working on that day.
It's going to be fun. I know you'll enjoy it.
On WIRI, we'll also have on Saturday at 6 o'clock the Deer Hunters Roundup. Be sure to join us for that. Mm-hmm. Shout-out to our friends at WCQM.
Yeah, that's right.
And Saturday night, we will have one more game of the Cranberry Classic, Port Edwards or Nakusa will take on the winner of those games.
Yep, the championship game on Saturday night.
That's really cool that we get to have the championship game.
That's going to be cool.
We haven't always been able to do that in years past.
That's right.
I cannot stress enough. A big shout out to Mike and Seth for covering these games. I do appreciate it. Sunday night on WIRI, 6 o'clock, Deer Hunters Roundup wraps up for that.
Wraps up on Sunday.
Encourage you to check out the Cranberry Classic, everybody. Check out that this weekend if you are able to at Assumption High School. Great concessions. Got the 50-50 raffle.
It's going on all day. We're only broadcasting a very small part of it, so you can head on over at 9 a.m. on Friday and Saturday to check that out.
And remind everybody, Seth, about what we got going on over at WIRI. I was mentioning there the great special.
The Deer Hunters Roundup. This is, like James said, a simulcast from our friends over at 98Q Country in Park Falls, also a part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Mm-hmm. This is a tradition that's been going on for over 50 years, and the host, Joel, has been actually doing it for 25 years.
That's awesome.
Basically, it's like controlled chaos.
Yes.
What they do is they ask for hunters to call in, give their stories, give their jokes, and they've got fun names for all the camps and stuff like that. It's a fabulous time. Just tune in, everyone. We do encourage you to do that tonight, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. They won't be doing it on Thursday because of the holiday, of course, but check it out, everyone. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We, of course, got the Winter's Farmers Market this weekend mm-hmm. over at the Moravian Church. Check that out Saturday.
Yep.
And get your tickets for Irving Berlin's White Christmas coming up December 5th, everybody. It's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Get your tickets going fast.
WRCtheater.org, head on over there. One more good story of the week for you here. The California Highway Patrol posted photos after three police officers helped a woman give birth on the side of the interstate Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
They said that they turned the shoulder into an impromptu delivery room.
Oh, boy.
The mom and her new daughter, Isabel, are both doing great.
Oh, glad to hear that. Oh, that is... I can't imagine police officers having to do that.
There's
no training for that.
Yeah, there's nothing
there
in really the playbook isn't. For that one. That's a really cool story, and appreciate them. And appreciate all of you. It's been a fun week, and we are so, so thankful to our sponsors, our partners out there, mm-hmm. all of our midday guests. Certainly all of you out there that are literally the lifeblood of this radio station. And
we
just personally want to say thank you to the greatest team in radio, every single person in this building and a part of this team. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the work that you guys do.
And he didn't give me enough time. And you too, man.
I was trying. I was trying.
He's trying to get the compliment. I'm going to do it.
I was trying.
James, Too bad. Doing a great job.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll meet you back here Monday for more.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.